This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Today, the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, for all practical purposes, gutted the federal sentencing guidelines system. But the court left judges with broad discretion. NPR's Nina Totenberg is at the Supreme Court and joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
Nina, what did the court do?
This is really complicated, so stick with me. Interrupt me if I say something that's not clear.
Okay.
What the court has been doing in the last few years is saying in a bunch of cases, judges cannot impose additional jail time on people for conduct that has not been proved beyond a reasonable doubt to a jury. And the federal sentencing guidelines gave judges broad discretion to do just that. So today the court comes and says, okay, the guidelines are no good insofar as they allow judges to impose jail time on top of whatever the maximum is for the conduct that's been proved to the jury. So I get accused of bank robbery and the jury finds me guilty, but the judge says, okay, I've got a sentencing report that also shows you were selling cocaine, so I'm going to add 10 years onto it. You can't do that, says the court. That's in one part of the decision, and it was 5-4. One judge switched. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg switched her vote on the second part of the decision. So what happens now to the guidelines? And she joins the people who have been dissenting in the past on these cases, and essentially they say to the to federal judges that they can, in fact, add time on, but not under the guidelines. They have to consult the guidelines, but if, as judges with broad discretion, they see there are factors that justify greater sentences, they can do that, and that those sentences can then be appealed for on a standard of what's called reasonableness. In other words, the appeals court will say, is this reasonable? And then under that system, the judges can impose greater sentences.
Well, let me break in. It sounds on the face of it like the court is having it both ways.
You got it. What they did with one hand, they took away with the other, so much so that Justice Scalia, in dissent on the second part, says there can be no doubt that the court's analysis has produced a scheme dramatically different from anything Congress has enacted since 1984. Sentencing courts are told to provide just punishment, among other things, and appellate courts are told to ensure that district judges are not unreasonable. The worst feature of the scheme is that no one knows, and perhaps no one is meant to know, how these guidelines and unreasonableness reviews will function in practice. And in another place he says, who can tell what's going to happen?
Well, maybe that would then be my next question. What then now happens to the federal sentencing system?
I don't think anybody really knows. I'm again quoting Justice Scalia only because those of us in the press room were, you know, this is a book length opinion, set of opinions, and we were frantically trying to sort out what this means. And eventually you really have to go to the dissenters. Again, Justice Scalia, today the same justices, referring to this group of five, wreak havoc on federal district court and appellate courts quite needlessly and for the indefinite future. Will appellate review for unreasonableness preserve de facto mandatory guidelines by discouraging trial judges from sentencing outside the guideline ranges? Will it simply add another lever of unfettered judicial discretion to the sentencing process? Or will it be a mere formality used by busy appellate judges only to ensure that busy district judges say all the right things when they explain how they have exercised their newly restored discretion? Time may tell, but today's remedial majority will not. So I don't know the answer. Neither does Justice Scalia.
Well, I guess we'll talk about this tomorrow. Thank you very much. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.